If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is with a great joy that we greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Sunday, October 28th, will be an outstanding day here at Worth Baptist Church. It's our annual roundup day in Sunday school, and our Sunday school goal today is 600. And we would like for you to be among that number attending Sunday school today on Central Standard Time at 10 o'clock. I trust today will be a new day in your life. You can make it a wonderful day by being in the house of God, by trusting the Lord, by worshiping God, and by fellowshipping with God's people. Come today to enjoy and share the blessings of God with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age, and for every grade level. And we would be more than happy to have you come today to study God's Word with us in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock back on Central Standard Time. Our Sunday morning worship hour is at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been designed with your spiritual needs in mind, and we would be more than happy for you to come and bring your family and bring a neighbor and bring your friends, and let's have a great time together as we end out the month of harvest and our roundup day in Sunday school today. Remember, our Sunday school goal is 600. And some of you listening to this broadcast have been planning for a long time to visit the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. Well, I can think of no better day than today for you to come and share with us on Roundup Day in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Come today, and we believe God will bless you for having spent the time in the house of the Lord on God's day. The Lord's day is the most important day of the week, and it is the day of worship, and God has ordained this day for us to assemble ourselves together. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And in these days of crises at home, corruption in our government, with a near collapse of the governmental processes of this nation, and with the international strife, the war in the Middle East, all of these things together add up to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to come today and make this a new day in your life as you worship God with us at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And on our radio broadcast, remember the month of October is anniversary month. We are celebrating our fourth year of gospel broadcasting over this station. So, in these closing days of October, to all who write, we will send you free and postage paid one of our books entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Why not write today for your free copy of this book containing seven messages on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These messages are timely. They'll be a blessing to your heart and to your home and to your family. So we invite you to write us today. And remember, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And if you will write before the month of October ends, we will be happy to send to you without any obligation whatsoever, free and postage paid, my book of sermons, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Write today for your copy to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, You Ought to Be. I am going to read one verse from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. It will be verse 11, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee today for the gospel of Christ. We thank Thee for the Bible and for the church. And we thank Thee for the blessed privilege that we have to voice the truth over this radio station. As this broadcast fills the air, we would pray that many might come to know Christ, that many might search in their hearts and be determined and resolved in their minds that they will make a new beginning and a new start with Thee, even this day. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us, and may the gospel move with power into the hearts of all who listen in this hour. We would pray for those who are shut in, for those who have particular and specific needs today, especially for those who need the Savior, for those who need prayer, and for those who need encouragement, and for those who need strength. Provide these things for them today, and use this broadcast as an instrument of blessing for all who hear it, is our prayer in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, I read verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is a basic question of life. What kind of person should I be? Have you asked yourself that question lately? What kind of person should you be? Well, the Bible is the only book in the world that has the answers to these questions. The Bible does not pose any question for which there is no answer. Someone once said, "It's good that we can have a book that discusses the great questions of life." Well, it is, but it is far better that we have a book that gives us the answers to the great questions of life. And that book is God's book. That book is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of the living God. The Bible indeed has the answer to the deep and abiding questions of your life. Perhaps you're confused today. Perhaps you do not know which way to turn. Maybe your sky has fallen in on you. Maybe the world is closing in upon you today. Let me tell you today that you can find the answer to your problems, to your dilemma, by looking into the pages of the Word of God. Isn't life a wonderful gift? Is it not a good thing that God imparts to us life, and that we in Him live and move and have our being? All that you know, and all that you can do, and all the abilities that you possess come to you as gifts from God. To know, to understand, to read, to love, to serve, all of these things are God-given. What are some of the basic questions in life? Consider these. What am I to be? What am I to do? What is my standard in life? What should my lifestyle be? What do I want out of life? What do I want to put into life? And I can assure you that you'll never get any more out of life than you're willing to put into it. What does God want for me? And what does God want from me? These are some of the basic questions, all of which I believe can be summed up in the words of my text. What manner of person should I be in life? How do you view life anyhow? Do you view it optimistically or pessimistically? I read a story about two boys who once were gathering grapes, and one of them with a happy smile on his face said to his friend, "Aren't they sweet?" And his friend answered, "Yes, but they sure have a lot of seeds in them." One had an optimistic view, the other a pessimistic view. They went on to a rose garden, and the one said, "What beautiful flowers," as he plucked a rose. And his friend said, "Yes, but look out for the thorns." There's again optimism and pessimism in that story. And finally they went to the place where there was a beehive, and one got honey, and the other got stung. Let me ask you, how do you view life? Do you see the sweetness in life or just the seeds in life? Do you enjoy the rose or are you bothered by the thorn? Do you get the bee honey or do you get the bee sting? You ought to be. What manner of person should you be? Let me try this in this broadcast and in this message to show you from the Bible the kind of person you ought to be. Number one, you ought to be Christ-like instead of being religious. Now that might sound strange, but beloved, it's one thing to be Christ-like. It's another thing to be religious. It is natural to be religious, but it's supernatural to be Christ-like. Many people are religious today, but they're lost. Religion is one thing, and salvation is another. A lot of people are religious by proxy. They say to themselves, well, my preacher can do my praying and my visiting and my giving and my going. The preacher can serve God for me by proxy. But not so, beloved. You as an individual have an individual responsibility to God. And no person on earth can meet your obligation to God. And no person on earth can serve God for you except you yourself. You see, the preacher can't read the Bible for you. The preacher can't pray for you. You must do these things for yourself. And the time has come when we must draw a line. On one side of that line are those who are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus. On the other side, those who are lost. Perhaps religious, but lost just the same. Many people, I repeat, many people in the world today are wonderfully religious, but they're eternally lost because they've never come to the time in their lives when they trusted Christ as their own Savior. Yes, it is one thing to be religious. It is another thing to be Christ-like. If you are Christ-like, you will be courageous, not fearful. The Bible tells us that God has taken away the spirit of fear and bondage from us, and He's given us His peace that passes all understanding. And we can have that peace even in a world that's war-torn. We can have that peace even in a nation where the government is shaking and where there's corruption in high places. We can still have that peace because it is a peace that passeth all understanding. It is the peace of God that only God gives us, and the world cannot take it away from us. If you are Christ-like, you will be kind, not bitter. The remedy for hate is not more hate. God does not conquer through the sword, but by the cross. God does not conquer by the lash, but by love. If you are Christ-like, you will be careful in your life what you do and where you go and the things you say and the company you keep. Not careless, but careful about these things. Someone says, but it's my business where I go and what I do and how I spend my time and how I spend my money. But let me say this, if you are a Christian, if you've been saved, if you belong to God, if you're in the family of the Lord, it is not just your business, it's God's business. Because if you belong to Christ, He is the senior partner in your business. And what you do is His business. Think it over. If you're a Christian, you do not belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price, and it is God's business what you do with your life and your time and your energy and your talent and your money. Yes, it is God's business if you are a Christian. If you are Christ-like, there will be light in your heart and not shadow. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." If you are Christ-like, you will be involved in spiritual things and not in the material things of life. After all, what is most important in life? That which you see and taste and touch and feel and handle? No. These things are temporal. But the things that you cannot see with a physical eye are the things that are important, because those things are spiritual things, and spiritual things last for eternity. If you are Christ-like, you'll be about praising God, not pouting. You'll be doing good, not evil. You'll be holy, not unholy. You'll be doing God's work and not simply hearing God's word. If you are a Christian and the kind of person that you ought to be in Christ, you'll be steadfast, not wishy-washy, not on and off, up and down, in and out, but steadfast in your faith and in your courage. I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 58. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." If you belong to Christ, if you have been born again, if you have the Holy Spirit abiding in your life, you can face the difficulties and the problems and the crises of life knowing that God has given you the peace and the assurance that whatever comes, you are steadfast upon the solid rock. Where do you stand today? What is your life? What are you? Do you believe that you measure up by the Word of God to what you ought to be as a Christian? I say again, you ought to be Christ-like instead of just being religious. And then in the second place, you ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of being drunk with wine. I read in Ephesians 5:18, "Be ye filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine." Now, being filled with the Spirit of God is not pressure from without. It is power from within. And being filled with the Spirit of God is not evidenced by some emotional outbreak or by some miracle that you could perform or by speaking in tongues. No, but by simply living a life that is governed by God. The Spirit of God is within the heart and life of every born-again believer. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you as a Christian, your eye will not lust after evil. Your mind will not tolerate evil. Your tongue will not speak evil. Your hand will not perform evil. Your heart will not harbor evil. Your feet will not walk after evil. And your life will not practice evil. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You see, when a man is saved, he passes from death unto life. He passes out of the realm of judgment and wrath into the realm of the holiness and happiness and peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Then in the third place, you ought to be prepared for heaven instead of plunging headlong into hell. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Judgment is just ahead for every person alive. First, death, and then judgment. There are two appointments that you must keep. You must keep the appointment with death, and you must keep the appointment with judgment. When you leave this life, and it may be before you realize it, death may come without any warning. Death may strike without any prior notice to you. And when you do leave this life, you can go to only one of two places. The Bible describes both of them. One of them is called heaven, and heaven is the eternal home of the redeemed, the born-again, blood-washed Christians, children of God, who have been saved by the power of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's heaven. The other place in the Bible is called hell, and hell is the eternal abiding place of those who reject the Lord Jesus, who die in their sins, who know not Christ as their own personal Savior. Let me ask you, do you know Him? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, in order to go to hell, you don't have to do anything. I repeat, you do not have to do anything to die and go to hell. But in order to go to heaven, you must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. It is not a matter of whether you want to or whether you do not want to. In order to go to heaven, the Bible says you must be saved. You must pass from death unto life. You must be born again. And the only way that you can experience that new birth is to have that personal encounter with God's Holy Spirit. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Ask God to save you for Christ's sake. Open the door of your heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in. And when you do that, beloved, you will be saved. Are you what you ought to be today? I trust that you are. If not, right now, by your radio, invite the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. And do it now, and may the Lord bless you as you do. Remember this, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, roundup day. We want you to be with us in Sunday school at 10 of Central Standard Time and through the services of the day. So until next Lord's Day at this same time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may good things come to your home, to your life, and to your family. As always, we admonish you to keep on praying.